This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We like to bring guys back if we can. You know, we've spent time with those guys, particularly Cam Sutton. You know, we drafted Cam, and he's developed as a Steeler, and I think he truly wants to come back. You know, it's great to be able to get those kind of guys back, and obviously depends a little bit on what the market says and what opportunities he might have and how we make all these things fit within our salary cap constraints. You know, there's some guys that are veteran guys that we'd like to bring back.
All right, Duncan, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. You heard Art the second right there. He had a lot to say. That was the Channel 11 Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. It depends on what the – I love all that. I love Cam Sutton. I like what he brings in all that. I think he's a better cover guy than Mike Hilton. You know, I don't know if he lays the wood as much, but he's a better cover guy. That said, though, when Art, does it make you apprehensive when he says – it depends on what the market yields. Is that out of their hands or not? Or could they outbid somebody if they have to?
I don't think they're willing to. I don't think they're willing to get into a bidding war. I think that whatever the market is, the market is. And if the guy is justified at that price, that is the Steelers' way of doing things. They're not willing to go back and forth and, you know, go into a bidding war that all of a sudden the market's here and then they're slightly above. They're not willing to do
that. If somebody's going to offer Cam Sutton $10 million a year, they're not going to play that game. They're not. They've got an internal number, it sounds like, set on each guy that they're not going to surpass, even if that guy is key and crucial to what they've been able to do.
I think they should – man, I don't think they should do this for a lot of people, but I think with the caps going up a little bit – there's some money that might come off the books on the offensive side of the ball just a little bit. Bush isn't signing that second contract. I think you stretch it to uncomfortability with Cam Sutton. If he's not there, I just look at what you have then in that back end. Levi Wallace, James Pierre, Arthur Millette on the edges, Akella Witherspoon. Then that puts you in a bind to where you have to get a plug-and-play high-end corner straight away.
Yeah, and they don't love to do that, to go into the draft needing to do something. They like to feel comfortable with what they've got if they can't have a guy land in their lap. If they do not bring Cam Sutton back, and I think they'll address corner in the draft either way, but if they don't bring him back, it almost has to be their first pick. And the way I look at it is, I don't know how many outside additions they need to make to this defense, in my opinion. The more I've thought about this, I think if you bring it back almost status quo, I wouldn't bring Devin Bush back. I think the defense is going to be good enough that if you can take a sizable offensive jump and surround your offense and your Kenny Pickett with talent, I think your defense is already good
enough. Well,
because
the safeties are good enough. So nobody's worried about the deep middle of the football field. I don't think they are. But in this game in which, and especially in the division that they're in, and especially with the one team with the black and orange helmets that they're going to have trouble playing for a long time, they make a lot of hay right up the rail, Doran. Mm-hmm. They do. And you have to wonder if Cam Sutton's not there. Look, you run a tough enough time with Cam Sutton there with Ja'Marr Chase and those guys. If he's not there, then what do you do?
Well, you have to address safety too, right? There's an Edmonds pick.
Strong safety,
yeah. But I do think he'll end up being back.
Yeah. I mean, and the deal he was on this year was really good.
And when I saw Trey Norwood, I think Trey Norwood can play.
Mm-hmm. And KZ.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is what's fascinating to me. It's like you're playing chess whenever you're, you know, at this point. And it's like, all right, so are we going to buck up and pay a guy that we know can lock down a side of the field or lock down that area? Or are we going to be back to the drawing board and have to figure out if a guy like Joey Porter Jr. can do that? Like, it's, or do we want to get both?
Well, and in a year where, at least according to some people like Brad Spielberger, you know, the corner market isn't exactly stocked. So Cam Sutton all of a sudden rises up people's free agency boards and all of if you're looking for especially a guy who can play slot or outside for a team that's corner desperate or corner starved, they might be willing to overpay more.
And you're not paying a quarterback anything. I'd get rid of Mitch Trubisky. The more I think about this, I've been really thinking about this. Do you run the risk of getting into a Shanahan situation and being second or third? Yeah, you know what? In your season, if you're the Steelers and how you're structured as opposed to how San Francisco's structured and how terrible your offensive coordinator is, your season's probably over anyway. And did Mitch Trubisky do enough to say that guy and keeping him at that rate, what is it, $8 million or whatever? Keeping him at that rate, he needs to be kept over getting a street free agent or plugging in somebody that can just kind of help you in a pinch. Like, was he that good that you got to keep him? I don't think so.
I think that they need it. I mean, Kenny went down twice.
But aren't there 9 million guys that are scrap heap guys? Josh Dobbs. People like that can make less money that can just stand around.
Well, and as it relates to the cap savings, I think you save like $8 million on the cap if you cut or get rid of Trubisky. That's enough for me to go, okay, yeah, absolutely. For that number, I'll find, like you said, Colin, a Josh Dobbs, or I'll convince Mason Rudolph to stick around, or whatever it may be, and it's not going to eat much into that cap. I mean, that's money you bring back Terrell Edmonds for a couple years with that money.
I mean, I look at the cost of backup quarterbacks. I mean, Geno Smith made $3.5 million last year.
Wow.
And Mason Rudolph made $5 million last year. Andy Dalton made $3 million. Any of those guys could come in. Geno Smith, obviously not. Joe Flacco, $3.5 million. Any of those guys could come in and go 2-3 like Mitch Trubisky did.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky would have been undefeated, if Mitch Trubisky was undefeated, then Kenny Pickett wouldn't have played unless Mitch Trubisky was injured. I just don't know. Like, we saw the results, so there's not a wonderment with Mitch Trubisky anymore. It is you saw him and you think you know and see his skill level and where he is. I don't think he merits being paid more than the traditional backup.
Oh, I totally agree. And obviously they wanted him to be the starter coming in. That's why he got that money. I'm a firm believer, though, in your backup quarterback being almost emulated at, simultaneously almost the same guy, but just a little bit less than your starter, because your whole offense would have to change. Like, if it's Mason Rudolph running what Kenny Pickett would do, your whole offense would have to change. Your approach would have to change. The receivers would change. The offensive line would have to change. There's a lot more going on whenever the backup quarterback does have to go in and he isn't of the same skill set as the starter. It's not just the starter being out. It is the offense having to change and adapt to that guy.
That's a really good point. That's why
I bring in Taylor Heineke.
No,
for $3 million.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He is that guy, right?
Yep.
Like
100%.
Just mobile enough that he can emulate, like you said, Dorn, Kenny's tendencies, still run the offense. They tend to lean on familiarity, so Dobbs, I think, is probably a guy they'll consider. But
Bowler Tyler Huntley.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, but that's what the Ravens did. I mean, look at how they were set up. You know, Tyler Huntley was a poor man's Lamar Jackson, and that's why it kind of worked.
But it's all dependent on recognizing that Trubisky is you're overpaying for Trubisky as a backup. Like, that's they've got to come to that reconciliation.
Like, Chad Henne went in, he's making a 175 or $2 million or something. He went into a gigantic situation, was like, I got this.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would have trust Mitch Trubisky in that situation. I don't know. And Chad Henne's 38 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that guy for not a lot. Give me Drew Locke if I got to have Drew Locke. You know, and save and use that savings if that means I can get a defensive back or I can get a real tackle.
There is legit concern, though, about Kenny Pickett and the concussions. And so I need a guy. If you think about 2005, 2008, 2010, all those years the Steelers went to and in two of the three cases won the Super Bowl, they would have been in a much different spot. Wouldn't have made it in 05 if they didn't win with Charlie Batch on the road in Green Bay. You might not have been the number two seed in any of those years that you played the Ravens or the Jets in the AFC Championship. I think backup quarterback is largely important, but are you going to get what Mitch Trubisky gave you this year from somebody else for cheaper? I do think the answer is probably yes to that.
So Art said this, Art the second did. We get back to something he said in just a moment. I tell you, Fan Hotline hit us there. Presented by Nemecolon, around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. One place that you can take a look at building your team is free agency. The other one is the draft. Art II said the draft room, quite obviously because Kevin Colbert's not around, is going to look a little bit different. Let's dive into this.
There are different opinions in the room, different voices in the room, so that'll be a change. But, yeah, there's a little different schedule from past years that that Omar and Andy are going with. And so it, I don't think it'll be dramatically different, but there'll be some different twists to it.
No, definitely the structure, right? I mean, the structure of how they probably approach every day, you know, leading up to the draft is going to be different. And honestly, I would take those that quote from Art II. I would take it like we're going to see a different style of how we draft. It's not going to be best available. It's not going to be like Kevin Colbert. We're going to really lean on Andy Weidel to be this guy because look at what he did and look what he constructed in Philly or was a part of doing that. I take those quotes as, listen, whatever direction we're going in, it's going to be of Andy Weidel's vision, and that's how you delegate stuff. That's why you hired him, and that's why he, you know, did the things he did in Philly.
And the Eagles organization, while he was a part of it, much more aggressive in moving in the draft, right? Look at what they did with the Saints last year that afforded them a first-round right. pick this year. Look at what the Steelers did at the trade deadline, moving Chase Claypool. So will Omar and Andy come together and say, hey, we're not going to stand pat at 17 and 32, for example, or maybe even later in the draft. We're going to be aggressive about making moves and going after guys that we like and guys that we want. I think it's that dynamic is going to be fascinating.
I think it'd be great if they could accrue some more picks. Like, I mean, I personally would be on the train, as we talked last week, where we talked a couple days ago, of Deontay Johnson being trade bait. Like, I would, like, if they got another second round pick, you know, that's four picks in the first 2 days. That's pretty good. You're setting yourself up pretty
Let's hammer
nice.
Down on that right now, by the way. I think that's a brilliant talking point. Text us about it. Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Does it hold true if you got X for Chase Claypool that you should get X or better than X for Deontay Johnson? Is that true this time of year, though? Or is that only around the trade deadline? Because that's what some, you know, you'll see some people that some people say, no, that doesn't make any sense. Some people say that makes a lot of sense. If you got this for Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson is seen as better around the league. Why wouldn't you get more for him?
You could if you had a team that was desperate and a team that was willing to pay. Mm-hmm. And I said this a couple days ago, too. I mean, somebody like in this situation, like the Cowboys, they need a number two. Deontay Johnson, I think we all are on the same page, he's a 1A. If you have a 1A and a 1, and you know that that will take your team to the next phase, Deontay Johnson, to me, is the perfect guy for that. And then if you're the Steelers, you get back, say, a second-round pick, or you get a little bit higher, more than what you got for Chase Claypool, you can address Deontay Johnson's productivity and his position with that second pick and let that guy grow with Kenny throughout Kenny's future. And I think the drop-off wouldn't be significant
at all. I'm wide open for business on Deontay Johnson if it means more picks.
Yep.
I mean, you look at some of the situations that people are in. Cleveland is in and, you know, with the whole Russ Wilson trade. And the teams that have no picks, right? The fact that you could have a ton of picks this draft or even moving into next draft, how do you not look at that and become very excited? Part of it depends a little bit on what you think Calvin Austin be, but George Pickens doesn't have any boxes to check anymore.
No.
That's going to be your number one dog.
Think about – let's wrap this whole conversation up, this whole segment, right? So think
and
about
no
what they
And there's no receivers in this draft.
No.
It's not like last year.
No, it's not
year.
Like loaded, right. Think about what you could do. Like say we do cut bait with Mitch Trubisky and you save $8 million and you want to pay Cam Sutton and then you trade Deontay Johnson, you accrue another pick. You're saving money paying a guy that you know can lock down on the defensive side at corner. Then that eliminates a spot or enhances a spot to create even more depth on defense with extra picks and a young guy that you could do that with. You're hitting every single thing that you want to do heading into this offseason by paying a guy that you know, maybe getting a backup and some depth that you know with another pick and addressing offense, addressing tackle, addressing so many things just in 2 days.
Yeah,
and
that's round
the
heart! Good call.
There it is.
I agree.
There's no reason you shouldn't be able to get another top 50 pick for Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, and think about what you can do with that. You know, you put all the talks away of, oh, should the Steelers draft a receiver? I wouldn't do that. Well, now they can. Now they can draft that other receiver that can go alongside George Pickens, create depth. Calvin Austin is in the fold now. You're doing a lot of different things there. You're doing a lot of things to set your team up for this next season.
And think about the two most important balls, too. People say, well, and look, I fall on this. Like, I think Deontay Johnson's pretty good. I'm still pretty – not a huge Deontay Johnson defender, but I fall on that side a little bit. But in crunch time, the two biggest balls this year were thrown to the one Hayward and to Sims.
Mm-hmm.
When you really think about that, the way that they've spread out the football, if there's ever a time to trade Deontay Johnson, it's right now.
For what he did this year, I think that you can supplement that productivity with a guy in the draft. That guy can do almost the same stuff.
I just worry about taking a weapon away from Kenny Pickett and replacing him with an unknown. I think, and we've talked about this.
What if the draft pick becomes a known, though?
And that's
that's the risk you run.
And Crowley, that is the position in the NFL that you have the best chance of a guy being a known. Like, any other position, just like, I don't know, that guy's going to take some time. Receiver's the easiest position, in my opinion, to transition into the NFL for.
All right, well, damn. I mean, geez.
So you're sold? You're sold on this?
I mean, you got me, Dorian. No, I think there's still always an element of unknown. And, I mean, we even saw with George Pickens this year. He had a good season. A lot of people thought he would have a great season, an elite season. And there were other moving parts around
him. Can I tell you another concern of mine with this whole dynamic? Is as George Pickens continues to grow, Deontay Johnson is going to become a pain in the backside. I think that's a – Deontay Johnson has not been somebody that's been a bad apple or anything other than not showing up for that camp and a couple different things. I don't think he's going to take George Pickens's rise very well.
No. And that's almost somewhat natural. Like, I mean, think you're getting demoted. Like, you're basically getting demoted. And he's on his way of getting demoted. You might as well strike while the iron's hot, while he is regarded as the number one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because next year, he's not going to be.
Yeah. Right. I would see what I could get. I'd be wide open for business with him right now. So much to get into. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Tyler Kennedy, he joins in 14 minutes from right now. Mike DeFabo covers the Steelers. He talks to us at the top of the hour. And a gigantic officiating mistake. These people who officiated this basketball game should be fired straight away. I've never, ever, ever heard of a gaffe this bad, and that is not hyperbole. Absolutely mean this. We'll get into that this hour. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll. Go back and check that out. Brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. It is time, to check out Armstrong Comfort Solutions. Armstrong Comfort Solutions, Matt Mertz Plumbing. They've got a limited time offer for you announcing Freebuary. Through the month of February, buy a tankless water heater and get a whole house water filtration system installed. Absolutely, positively free. Offers valid on all qualifying equipment. 1-833-789-9100. That's Armstrong Comfort Solutions and Matt Mertz Plumbing. Go check them out now.
Pitt basketball off until Tuesday when they'll take on the Louisville Cardinals at...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
7 o'clock. For more, go to 937thefan.com. Headlines powered by Bowser Subaru.
All right, Tyler Kennedy, a couple minutes from right now. I sense, and I don't think I have to read anything here. No, I don't. I sense some movement in the whole 1 week from now, Star 100.7 is having a big pizza contest. Doran was kind of bent out of shape a little bit ago, and I don't mind. I don't blame him. He volunteered incessantly to be one of the judges, and they're like, oh, we'll get back to you. Oh, we'll figure it out. Oh, yeah. Then we see the list of judges. Kara Sapida, brilliant. She's great. Mary Hours, of course. Come on. Jim Colony, all these people. But, like, we thought Doran was for sure in on this. They never even got back to you. So you got frozen out by our own station right down the hall. But I just saw you in there. So were you kind of hashing some things out with them? What's going on?
You know, it was a different conversation. They asked me a question about something that they're about to start doing with the other stations. And they asked me how the reaction would be if they did that from us, if they did that to us. And I was like, they're like, would we get fired if we did this? And I was like, you wouldn't get fired, but you'd be looked at oddly. So it wasn't about the pizza. And I was like, well, our boss looks at all of us as a team, not just the fan, not just KDKM, not just Star, as a whole team. So you wouldn't get fired. And I was like, I look at us as a team. Well, I did look at us as a team until the whole pizza deal. And now you're not a teammate of mine. You are an enemy of mine.
Oh, geez. And how did that go over?
And they started going back and forth, and Bubba started blaming it on Mel. Mel blamed it on Bubba. And I'm standing there, you know, in the faces of them too, and I want answers.
Did you get any?
No, of course not.
They're radio hosts. We got to get to a break. Yeah.
Yeah, they're radio hosts. They know how to dance around things.
So you're not going to be a judge for this pizza thing next week?
I'm not. It doesn't seem like it, so I'm going to hijack it.
I was just going to say that. Guerrilla warfare is the greatest move. Now, you just walk right in, you take pizza. Okay, just like Zeiss, legendary Post-Gazette story. I've told this before. They get pizza on election night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that guy, Rob Owen, who's about 4'6", 103 pounds, and likes to talk tough on the internet about radio shows and TV and all this stuff. And it's just, he is just a weaselly kind of guy, I think. Not to get personal. But anyway, so he was there, Rob Owen, and he got real smart aleck. Real smart aleck. Because it was election night, and they order pizza, right? And so they have all these pizzas. I mean, there must be 70 pizzas in this room. Zeiss walked in, and this is the television guy. It's not even an election bureau guy. He says, I didn't know it was election night in sports.
To Zeiss.
Oh, goodness. Zeiss, as he's holding two pieces of pizza together as a sandwich and biting them with his mouth full, he looks right at Rob Owen and he said, if you could take this pizza off of me, you could have it back. And it just sent a stunner quake through the whole room. Like, oh, my. And Rob Owen just walked out of the room.
Yeah.
That's the move you need to pull.
Right.
Walk in there, take two bites. If they look at you funny, go, what? Come get it.
Yeah, come get it. Come take it out of my hand. I'm not worthy enough to be a judge, but I'm worthy. Trust me. I'm worthy.
I'm a handsy drunk with men. I'm going somewhere. I have never touched a human being that is more made out of steel than Doran Dickerson. and he lifted me up over his head the other night. Come get that pizza. You come get this guy.
I dare you.
Best of luck to you, pal.
It's mine.
First of all, can't catch him. Second of all, we'll beat you down.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel personally affronted? I mean, did they never give you reasoning why they don't want you part of this?
No. They just keep dancing around it and adding people. Well, they did. They were adding people. And still to this day, I walk past there how many times a day, and they won't tell me the reason why. I just think it's because I'm not worthy, you know, in their eyes. You know, they don't want.
They're asking for what you're going to do. That's what I think you may be playing right into their hands, but that's fine. You got to do what you got to do. You got to let them know that you're in charge. But they want you to walk in and take over, I think.
I'm going to.
Here's the judges. Mary Hours, she gets a double thumbs up, right? We like her. Richie Walsh, depends on what day it is, how much I could take a Richie. But I like him. I genuinely like Richie. Jim Colony, I mean, come on. He's the king. There's a crown there. Kara Sepeda, great. Motivational story, cancer survivor, tough as hell. She's the best. The Allegheny County Sheriff, Kevin Krause, good dude as I know him, right? He's a homicide detective back in the day. Really good guy. Cody Sable, ultra talented. Finger painter extraordinaire. Gets flown all over the world. I don't know this Aaron Kleber or Kleber. I'm told he's a good guy. Munhall guy, funny guy. I'm told funny guy and good guy. So they have good judges, but why not pad it out a little bit?
I'm flummoxed. I wish you guys would let me know a reasoning behind this. Do you guys know anything?
No.
You guys have worked in this building longer than I have.
Maybe it's because we're on the air while it's happening. That's all I can think of. All I can think of is they don't want to take you away from the show and have the while they're doing their pizza thing. That's honestly all I can think of.
Charlie?
I mean, it's Black History Month, too.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? See, now I'm real mad.
I got your back.
Man.
I'm getting out. Now I'm fuming.
Yeah, it's a pretty, I mean, this judging thing looks like, I mean, like the Princeton basketball team. That's all I'm saying.
What does that mean?
I'm saying that there's not a whole lot of soul.
There's not? I'm Princeton?
No, not back in the day. But like right now, like when you'd watch those teams, right now, they are all white people.
Yeah.
You gonna push in there?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to.
Now he's mad. Yeah. He's really mad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, considering too, I mean, you've just made national news. Yesterday, yeah. You made national news.
One of the hosts on the morning show was an All-American player at Pitt and tight end in the NFL. And I think they celebrated his broadcast there today because he was the first man of color to broadcast from the Groundhog Day festivities.
Because it's like a big news event.
Yeah.
Where they send news trucks up.
So it was a joyous occasion for the station to have him there today, Cordell.
Yeah, great way to evolve, man. I mean, you know, it's the evolution of life, isn't it? You know,
absolutely.
Cordell Stewart recognizing you, and our own pizza contest can't recognize
you. They can't. Man. Maybe they'll go get Royce Jones or something.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
My cousin just texted me and said, how does the Rooney Rule not apply to this pizza contest?
See?
This is judges. The fix is in. Now he's getting steamed. Our Tyler Kennedy, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore. Meet me at Mike's. We welcome in TK. Hello, Tyler. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm having a good day.
Explain why you're having a good day already.
I'm down in South Florida. I am at the All-Star Weekend. We're down in Fort Lauderdale, so it's been a good time.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I was going to ask you that to start. Like, people talk about this, like how it's the Pro Bowl in the NFL or hockey, how some of the players, the big-time players, don't go or whatever. Everybody wants to fix All-Star Weekend and the All-Star festivities. One, does it need fixed? And two, if it does need to be fixed, how do you fix it?
I don't know if it needs to be fixed. Like, the new stuff actually they're doing for the skills competition, it's like real out-of-the-box stuff with, like, surfboards, stuff like that, right on the beach. I think it's going to be a real cool feel this year for the actual games and skills. So I think it's good. And, you know, you watch on TV and you just see the skills and the game. But being down here and seeing how the NHL kind of taken over South Florida, it's unbelievable. It's a zoo down here. So it's been a good time.
Tyler, you know, a little personal question here, and I get asked this question a lot about football, and people always go, do you miss it? And whenever you're down there right now, you're around, you know, all the festivities. You know, you got the games, you got the practices, you see guys competing. Do you miss your playing days right now?
100%. You know what? I don't think there's one former professional athlete that doesn't miss it, you know. And when you see guys like yesterday, you know, I saw Ovechkin, I saw Gretzky, you know, and just every one of them, you can tell they just love it. And I miss being around, and I miss that camaraderie. I miss like all the really great stuff that comes with the hockey, you know, the guys, the games, the going through the good times and hard times. And again, when I see these guys down here, it makes me miss it that much more.
Tyler, a lot of people have wondered aloud, where's Ron Hextall? When are the Penguins going to make a move with the deadline about a month away now? And I talked to Eric Tangrady the other day, and he said, you know, maybe it's just about getting out of the All-Star break, these guys catching their second wind. They're going to go out west, do a lot of those things that the boys do on the road, right? You go out to dinner like you were talking to Cook and Joe about last week. All those things that create a little camaraderie and maybe give them that energy boost coming out of the break. Is that the plan here? Should that be the organizational plan? Let's get out of the break, get on the road, see if we start to catch fire. And then if we don't, we've still got a few weeks until the deadline.
Yeah, like, but you see the other teams are making moves. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a good Western trip, especially if they win. I think that definitely gains momentum as a team, you know. But I'm actually down here with all the other alumni presidents, and I was actually talking to a guy that works for Philadelphia, Brad Marsh, and he was there for a long time, and obviously Hextall's come from there. I'm like, hey, you know, what do you think about Hextall? And he goes, you know what, he doesn't make many moves, but everything he does is so calculated. Sometimes it takes a long time, but when he does do it, it's very calculated. And again, he just doesn't make moves to make moves. So that was a little reassuring that he is trying to make moves. It's just going to take a while, you know. So I'm hoping he's working and is trying to make something happen, because the Penguins do need something to change. They need a spark. They need a new guy coming in. They need something. So.
Do you think guys in the room get impatient a little bit waiting for a move, seeing that the Islanders were aggressive, just as an example? Do guys start getting a little antsy waiting for some reinforcements?
Maybe the top guys do, but I know, you know, there's probably three guys that might get antsy because, you know, it's their team with Malkin, Sid, and Letang. They might get antsy because they want to win so bad and they're not. But the other guys, you know, I was more worried about, like, I hope it's not me. You know, that's the feeling those other guys are getting.
Tyler, if I had to say you had to vote everything you had just on and put all your money into just one side or the other, which would it be? Are the Penguins closer to a full-on rebuild, or are they closer to a Stanley Cup? Which would you vote?
Well, you put me on the spot.
I mean, that's why you get paid the big bucks, DK.
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting for the check to come in. No, you know, I think this year they're still closer to the winning the Stanley Cup than a rebuild just because of Crosby. But, you know, if they don't make playoffs, that switch is so quickly, you know, and this summer will be a lot of transition, I think, if they don't make the Cup, because it's obviously clear they're going the other direction. So I still do believe they're closer to the Stanley Cup than a rebuild.
Does Crosby have input on front office decision-making? Whenever things go down, do they inquire on Sid's thoughts and vision?
I think they ask him. I don't know. You know, I never asked Sid, hey, did you help with the trade or nothing? You know, but knowing Sid and knowing the respect he gets, you know, throughout the organization and, you know, what he's done, I definitely think they talk to him and say, hey, do you think this would be a good fit? And, you know, I think he does put a little bit of a stamp of approval. You know, again, he wants to win. And I think the biggest thing with Sid is, like, he's an extremely intelligent guy. You know, he knows, like, he can almost walk into, like, a GM role and do well, or a president's role and do well, just because he's so intelligent, you know. So I think, yeah, everything does probably, you know, get the okay by Sid.
Tyler, you were a guy that was versatile enough to move up and down the lineup if you had to in your day. Obviously, we know the thing that you had with Matt Cook and Jordan Staal was enough to keep you guys cemented together more often than not. But when you're a guy who has offensive skill and you're asked to drop down in the lineup, how hard an adjustment can that be? Because I see Kasperi Kapanen, and I know he's out right now, but he's always struggled with that up and down nature of his job in the Penguins lineup. And they don't have a guy this year like an Evan Rodriguez who went out to Colorado and has embraced that role of moving up and down in the lineup.
Yeah, you know, that's what makes those guys so valuable. And with Kapanen, I'm not sure. It's not so much that they're moving. It's more his play that's moving them up and down the lineup, you know, not them trying to find a third or fourth. It's him, I feel, being inconsistent with his play, because when he's playing well, I think he's such an effective player. I think his skating, his shot, he make things happen when he's moving his feet, you know, but some days, you know, he doesn't do that or whatever, and they have to move him down or out of the lineup just because, again, if you're not moving your feet as a skater, you're kind of useless, you know. So I think for him, you know, when he is on his game, he's such a big part of that team. But, again, having a guy being able to move up and down the lineup, and it's so valuable. Even when you look at our Stanley Cup in 2009, Max Talbot, you know, he was third, fourth line. He goes up to the second line in playoffs. He fills that role. And, again, everyone, you know, fits in their role so much better when a guy can move up like that.
Tyler, I'm a little worried here because I'm going to say something. I'm going to take things in a different direction, which between you and me has not gone well in the past. But I'm just curious, who was your favorite teammate as you were making your way through the league?
You know, I've had a lot of great teammates. Obviously, like Sid's, you know, a guy that I've, you know, maybe I didn't cherish so much when I played with him because he was more of like a friend and just a teammate, you know, but being away from the game and realizing like how important Sid is to hockey and, you know, how great of a player, you know, I kind of took Sid for granted when I play with him, you know, so he was a real good player. But the guy I was probably closest to was Jordan Staal. He was a roommate of mine on the road. He's from Northern Ontario like I am. We live like pretty much beside each other. So we spent a lot of time and we just clicked, you know, and he understood me. I felt like he was a guy that I could really open up to. So I would say Jordan Staal.
Last question for you before we let you go. This is a long shot. Do you speak French or understand much French?
No, you know, I very, very basic French. When I grew up in Canada, you know, your kid, like my kids learn Spanish in school now.
Right,
you just
right.
Learn the base. I learned French, you know, but you had a choice in grade 9 if you wanted to continue it. And I end up stopping doing it just because it was getting a little too confusing for me.
Uh-huh.
So I know the very basics, but I couldn't
Here's the reason I ask. Here's the reason I ask, not to laugh. We went to Punxsutawney yesterday, you know, for the whole groundhog thing. We did our show from there. We blew it out. They have one in Quebec, all right? Tyler, they reached in to get the groundhog. My man was dead. The groundhog was dead. How about that for having all the people gathered and then the groundhog is just stiff as a board? And they announced it in French to the crowd.
Hey, maybe we're going to get winter in February to July this year. Maybe that's a sign. Who knows how the weather's been this year. But, it's a little bit of a surprise, a little bit of like kind of a Debbie Downer, when he comes out and he's just like frozen.
Guy gives it this. Ready?
Je vous annonce la mort de Fred.
He's dead. That was so I just want to see if you could translate, but I don't know. Maybe we'll talk to Letang about that.
I'm pretty sure he just said this thing's dead.
Perfect.
I think he said, sorry, this thing's dead, guys. We got to find something else to put in there.
With that, we say thank you. We will talk next week. Tyler, we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. Tyler Kennedy brought to us by Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore. Meet me at Mike's, as always. Coming up next, I have never, ever, ever in all the games that you see seen this happen, and three officials should immediately be fired because of it. Tell you what that is coming up next here, Fan Morning Show. Now, I don't know where it ranks because you've seen a lot of wild stuff in sports. This is definitely up there with one of the wildest things I've ever heard of or seen in sports. Listen to this. And I don't call for people to immediately be fired all the time. Sometimes cut, sometimes released, sometimes demoted, whatever. This has to be multiple people, three of them, game officials, fired today. And there's no other way. Maybe after an investigation, it's something, but they should probably be fired. So Duke basketball, women's basketball, Kara Lawson plays for them, coaches them. She's a former great player. They lost on Sunday to Florida State, 70-57. And they were ranked 16th, and Florida State was not ranked. And they lost by 13 points in Tallahassee. So, Kara Lawson goes through the whole week, and she's like, something was off. Something was off, and people were, she didn't really have a press availability. So, they played Pitt last night. They beat Pitt 53-44. So, finally, she says, I got to say something about what happened in Tallahassee. Because we've had a tough week. We shouldn't have lost to Florida State. We lost by 13. We were ranked 16th. They weren't ranked. So Kara Lawson is Duke's women's coach, and she said this after Pitt's victory last night, hearkening back to Sunday.
You realize it was a men's ball, and we had played the first half with a men's ball. We then alerted the table that we needed to change the ball, and the table would not change the ball, but then we alerted the head official to come and look at it. He came and looked at it, and he changed the ball. We then played the second half with a women's ball. It's been very frustrating that at this level of basketball, that a mistake like that happens, that could have impacted the outcome of the game. Let me be clear, Florida State beat us. They beat us playing with a men's ball in the first half and a women's ball in the second half. But I can't say if we'd have played with a women's ball in the first half and the second half that we would have won. But they can't say that either.
They played this game Sunday. Her team went now, like she said, both teams played with the same basketball. But her team was 7-34 from the field in the opening 20 minutes. They were 12-38 in the second half. They shot a little better. Florida State was 10-30 in the first two quarters and 14-31. She said, my players were complaining about the ball straight away. Now, if you've ever played any basketball, you look on a ball, it says 285, 28.5. That's the circumference of a ball. And a men's ball doesn't say anything normally. A women's ball will always say 285 or 28.5, denoting the circumference of it. And it's smaller. You grab it, you know right away. Mm-hmm. So I would think if you're a woman that's used to playing with a woman's ball and you grab a men's ball, it's the same. You know right away that ball feels bigger. How this went on for a whole half, people should be fired straight away.
It's like, It's not like,
it's like playing baseball with a softball.
Right. It's not like there wasn't other basketballs either. Like, I mean, whenever, like, how many basketballs are in a gym before a game? Like, I just don't understand what the big
how
deal
hard
was
would
not
it
to
have
switch
been,
it out.
Yeah, how hard would it have been for one of these officials to, like you said, walk in the back and find a women's
like,
ball?
What?
Hell, jump in your car and drive to a Dick's down the street and buy one if you have to and start the game 20 minutes late. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Do you think if they would have found out, like, or change it like 4 minutes in that they would have replayed the whole game too?
No, because both teams had were playing with the same ball. But again, and that probably that could serve though to negate this point too, in totality. Both teams were playing with the same ball. But she was like, listen, this just how do we do this? And this is why some people will look at women's basketball and look down their nose at it. How can we make this gigantic of a mistake at that level? Now, she said assistant coach Winston Gandy went to the scorer's table at the half to check on the ball and was like, our players keep complaining about it. And that's when he realized what the problem was. She said the game officials changed the ball to start the second half. What? I mean, again, if you play any level of basketball or have played any basketball in your life, you know to look for a ball. Like, because like when I was growing up, the girls' team and the boys' team would practice, whatever, and you could get the balls mixed up. Yeah. You just look at it, and it says 285, yeah. 28.5. What? It's denoted. And a boys' ball doesn't say that. It just says basketball. It's not hard.
No, not at all.
This is an ACC basketball game.
I just wonder how Florida State figured out how to win the game. I mean, they scored some points. I mean, it didn't affect them.
I wonder this, too. Did Florida State put that ball out there on purpose?
Mm.
Oh.
Did Florida State look at it and say, we're going to get away with this as long as we can?
I wonder if they're using men's basketballs during warmups and then used a men's basketball, like on purpose. We're like, hey, we're going to use a men's basketball today for the game in warmups. Like that would really throw your shot off if you just had to use a men's basketball to start the game and not in warmups. If you're using a woman's basketball in warmups, that would throw you off
right.
If it did, and it didn't.
And even if they didn't do that, what's the easiest way to level the playing field between a less talented team and a more talented team? It's, you know, find something to circumvent the rules or change the dynamics, right? I mean, changing the dynamics of what ball is being used instantly levels the playing field.
I got to say, Kara Lawson, to not gripe about it immediately after the loss, I think good on her.
I agree with you. To let it fizzle out, to do more. And this, to me, says if she waited until Thursday and this happened Sunday – she did detective work and investigative work and didn't get the answer she wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what screams to me, too. I think she reeks of class by the way she handled it.
For sure.
Because she could have lost her mind in the post game, been like, these goofs, how do we do this? You know, I got in a big debate one time. Tell me where you fall on this one. All right, somebody was like the free throw leading shooter, the leading free throw shooter in the country, and it was a women's player that played at like Tennessee Tech or something. And somebody else was – so she was like 94% from the free throw line. And a man was – he was a free throw shooter for Texas Tech or something. And he shot 93.8 and somebody – and a woman was 94.1 or, say, you know, something thereabouts. And they said she is the leading free throw shooter in the country. And I said, no, same thing with three-point shooters. She's the leading female and he's the leading male, especially with free throws, because – the ball is smaller and has a better chance of going in the hole, and the basketball is the same size, so you cannot compare men's and women's stats.
Hmm. I would say it's the same distance and the same height of the hoop.
It's the same distance and the same height.
So that's, I think,
the ball is it physically – you can fit more women's balls in that same hoop.
Hmm.
Math.
So I say – and I'm not negating
physics.
What she
right,
did,
no, no,
but
no.
I say you can't compare her – to the men's. I'm not saying the men's free throw shooter was better. I'm just saying that you can't compare those two stats because the ball she's shooting has a better chance of going in.
Does it?
Yeah, it's smaller and the hoop's the same size.
But her
size.
Hand's probably smaller.
But she's smaller, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't know that her hand's smaller, but we do know that the ball is smaller. Again, you don't have to – I'm just making my case.
I kind of think you're right. I mean, I think that's sort of the way it should be overall. I mean, it's a totally different competition, too. I mean, do they call the fouls the same way? I mean, does she get more opportunities? I don't know. Fascinating. I'm just going to keep saying words and not know where my sentence is going to end.
Well, it's just something I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Crowley, do you think those officials should be fired?
Yes.
You do?
That's a horrendous mistake.
It's funny you say that, because if they're fired, they should go to 84lumber.com/careers. That would be fantastic. They have a bunch of opportunities. Those officials would be perfect for 84lumber. Go to 84lumber/careers right now for great opportunities.
We got
to
find out. You know who's a high-end women's basketball official, did the final game last year? Michael McConnell, TJ's uncle, that's married to Sherry McConnell. Who's a basketball coach. Used to be Sherry Hannon, very good player. That's her maiden name. She's the same person, but she just took on a different last name. But anyway,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm really – now my mind is just – it's warped because of the whole women's basketball going into a hoop and a men's basketball going into a hoop. You have a pretty good case here.
I know.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I can't get it out of my head of, like, the thought process of, yeah, I guess you can't really compare the two. They would be very, very different.
And again, I'm not negating the women's stats. I'm just saying it's impossible to compare men's and women's basketball stats. That's always
there.
Been my contention.
Got something there.
Not in a mean way.
No.
Just for facts. Anyway. We got to find out these officials.
That whole thing makes me nervous.
Yes. Anyhow, top of the hour, Mike DeFabo. He joins from The Athletic. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Silverados, Colorados, they're back in stock with a great selection. Stop in and online, too, at sunchevy.com. Cold, high. This is bad. High in the teens.
That's the weather.
Sure is. FanDuel there for you. You know what you're betting on. It's a big game. It's the Super Bowl. This year, the only app you need is your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge, America's number one sportsbook.
Download FanDuel now. Plug in our promo code FAN, F-A-N, when you do so, and you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. Yep. Up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if that first bet doesn't win with FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 93.7 The Fan. They let you bet on everything from the money line to the spread to anytime touchdown scores, player props, put them together maybe for a same game parlay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.